Bless you. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, today I'm going to be talking about counteracting the spirit of fear. So, see this verse here? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I've learned some really cool things about this verse, so I want to share them with you today. And so before we get into that, though, I want to read 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 2. Because in our world today, there is so much fear. There's things that are causing fear surrounding us all the time. But this is not something that's new. In fact, a lot of people have been saying, oh, we've got to be in the end times because of this going on and this going on and this going on. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul really assured the people that in verse 2, that you should not be quickly shaken in your minds, nor be troubled, not by word, nor by a spirit, nor by a letter, as though from us, saying, namely, behold, the day of our Lord has arrived. The day of the Lord is going to be the most awful time that there will ever be in the history of mankind. And we are not anywhere close to living in that. But we have this same exhortation that we need to have to ourselves. It's like, you listen to the news, you hear what's going on in Afghanistan, you hear what's happened with our fellow believers, you know, who are being persecuted all around the world. And, you know, our hearts just like go, oh, why is this happening? But the enemy, one of his greatest tools is fear. And so that's why I want to talk about it today, because we have to know how to stand against that fear and not receive those things so that we're not troubled. And I found a cool definition of the word troubled. It's an ongoing state of worry and inward anxiety resulting from outward events that keep occurring. Like, things just keep happening over and over and over. And if it's not something that's happening in the world, it's something that's happening in our own lives where, you know, the plumbing breaks or you have to have a new refrigerator. I mean, it's just kind of endless, the types of things that keep occurring, right? So we have to keep not being troubled, because we have to have something that will go against that. And that's what led me to this verse about, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Well, he has not given us a spirit of fear. But there's an ellipsis in here, and you could say he has given us the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. But I wanted to replace it with that he has given to us by his Spirit, power, love, and a sound mind. And these three things are what counteract fear. So I want to look at them a little bit. And another thing about fear, you know, sort of interesting, is that it lives in the world of the worst case scenarios. It also lives in the area of what if. What if this? What if that? And that's where fear gets to have a hold. So by counteracting with these three things, then we will be able to separate out what is the real truth and stand on that. So the first thing is, God has given us power, right? That's why I wanted to play the song about belief for it. There's power in the name of Jesus. And when we use his name, miracles happen. Things change. And, of course, the greatest section about power is the armor of God section in Ephesians 6. So I just wanted to read a couple verses from there to remind us that this power that we have, and God said it in the manifestations, You know, all the power that raised Jesus from the dead is what we have inherently residing inside of us. So, Ephesians 6:10, and I'm reading from the Aramaic translation. From now on, my brothers, be strong in our Lord and in the immensity of his power. The power of his might is what King James says, right? But I wanted to focus on just that part about be strong. It actually means to be strengthened. It's the same idea as like being transformed. It's not something that we do ourselves. That's the part that God does. So the strengthening part is what God does. And you can see that when there is a situation that's causing fear, you know, whether it's a financial thing or physical healing type of situation or even emotional, you know, where someone is going through a lot of anxiety about their children or anything. And we need to become strengthened. So some of the other verses in that section, look at verse 13. Because of this, put on the whole armor of God. You know, how much? The whole, all six pieces of it. And then put them on with prayer. So that you will be able to engage the evil one and be prepared in everything, you will stand firm. Part of talking about this today is that I just want us to be prepared. So we're not, you know, taken aback. Like, why should you be surprised that the enemy is moving so swiftly to try to cause fear all around the world? He knows his time is short. And so he's doing trial runs, so to speak. And say, oh, well, if I could get everybody to be afraid and I can get them to act like sheep and they just follow whatever anybody says and go into this isolation mode, well, then he's got the upper hand. And that's what we have to stand firm against. So that when we engage in any kind of temptation to fear, that we will stand firm. So, of course, one of the really cool pieces of armor is the shield of faith. So that's in verse 16. And with these, with all the pieces, take to you the shield of faith. Got it? You got it? You got it? Okay. By which you will be empowered with strength. There it is again. See, you will be strengthened. You will become strengthened and be empowered to quench all the fiery arrows of the evil one. Fear is a fiery arrow. It comes, and sometimes it comes like with a whole bunch of them, right? And that's where we need each other. And we need to lock our shields together, like we've taught so many times about how we stand firm. One guy, yes, you can put the shield up and try to, you know, quench it all, right? But if you've got a whole lineup like the Roman soldiers did, where they locked their shields together, it was almost impenetrable. And the other really cool thing that they did with the shields before a battle was they soaked them in water. They were usually had the covering of leather, and so they would soak the shield completely with water before the battle, so that when they knew the fiery arrows were going to try to hit, right? But if they hit the shield, it would just go sizzle. It would sizzle and not burst into flame. But if the shield didn't have water in it, then it would explode. And then it would take out, you know, a whole bunch of people right next to you too. So the water in this illustration represents the word. God's promises, also the ones that are in the written word, but also the promises that he makes to us individually. If you soak your shield with those promises and with the word, the truth of the word, then when the fiery darts come, see, they will sizzle. they can't take hold and they can't burst into flame and, you know, consume your whole life. So, for example, this is Paul at the end of his life. He was in prison, and they were going to send him to the lion, to the arena. And this record is in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16. We'll start there. In my first defense, no man was with me, but all of them left me. Do not count this to them. Verse 17, but my Lord stood by me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching would be completed and all the Gentiles would hear that I was rescued from the mouth of the lion. And God did. God rescued him from the mouth of the lion in the arena. We don't know how it all happened, but we know that he was rescued. Because he later goes on and says, well, I know that I'm, you know, this is at the end of my life here, and I know that these things are coming to a fruition in my life. But Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I kept the faith. See, stand in faith. Stir my faith, Lord. Stir my faith. Because my eyes are on you, and I am praying for that breakthrough. Verse 18 goes on, and he says, and my Lord will rescue me from every evil work and will give me life in his kingdom that is in heaven. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. I mean, we have nothing to fear because we have eternal life. And we, like also God said in the manifestations, is that you are forever mine and I will forever be yours. Forever. So to him be the glory for that. No matter if we haven't seen the breakthrough yet, it's on the way. So amen. Another example that you could read about on your own here, read the whole record because it's in Nehemiah chapter 5 and 6 about how Nehemiah builds the wall in Jerusalem, and they build the wall in 52 days. And it's a miracle because of all the things that were going set against them, and there are these two guys, Sanballat and Tobias. And they wanted to prevent all of the people from building the wall. And so they sent letters. They did these letters over and over to try to make the people be afraid. And also they even sent a prophet, somebody who was called a prophet. And this prophet spoke false words of like, oh, this wall is just going to fall down. You can't build it right. There's no way. You know, and and so Nehemiah says in chapter 6 and in verse 9, he goes, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. How many times have you heard words that people have spoken saying, you can't do that, that won't work, you're not good enough, you're not good enough. Just even that phrase alone can strike fear. A lot of fear because, hey, the truth is we're not good enough, but God is, but God, right? And so then this is what Nehemiah prayed. Oh, God, strengthen my hands. And he took a stand, just like we're talking about with the shield. He took a stand against the fear, and he helped the people to get over being afraid of what everybody else was saying. So that's pretty cool, huh? You can go and read the whole record. It's just really fabulous. I could have taught that whole thing. That would have been great. But we got two more. See, power, that was power. Now, the other thing that God has given us to counteract fear is love, his love. And so I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. Fear exists in situations of peril, you know, where there's something dangerous or something could possibly happen. And it's that same idea of, you know, what if? I mean, if the time when there were all those fires and stuff, and now still there's fires up in Northern California, what if the fire comes close to my house? What if? You know, but see, that still does not need to cause fear when we know that God loves us and He's going to provide for us. 1 John 4:16, and we believe, and we know the love that God has towards us. For God is love. God is what?
Love.
And everyone who remains in love remains in God. And in this, His love is completed with us so that we would have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He was, so are we in this world. As He was on this earth, a man walking with God, He trusted Him completely, and He made God's love for Him be the center and the strength part of His whole being and everything that He did. And so His love was completed in the sense that it was matured. It was it came to fruition. Don't you think that when He was on the cross, He needed God's love to not be afraid? What if God doesn't raise me? I'm sure that the enemy threw that one at Him really big time. But He stood on the fact that God will never, ever leave Him or forsake Him. And that's another verse I wanted to read was Hebrews 13:5. For the Lord has said, I will not leave you and I will not let go of you. And that's why we can confidently say, my Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And if you want to hear a teaching on that, at the end of June, I did a teaching on God is my helper, remember? And we prayed and we really did some commanding during that time and everything. Because God, is, when He's our helper, then He pours out His love to us. And His hands never let go. He never leaves us, ever, ever. And if we just can get that in our heads, then the trials and the temptations and the things that are, you know, hitting us or surrounding us, they will seem small. How big is God's love? Huge. So that's the part about love. And, you know, we could talk the whole time about love, too, right? And we have plenty of times. But now the sound mind part is the thing that I got so blessed learning about. Because it's most translations say either something like self-discipline or discipline, something along those lines. Like, it sounds like the renewed mind, you know, where we have to put verses and things in our own minds, and that's what will stand against the fear. But when you put the word together, it's a compound word in Greek called sozophroneo. And it's made of two words, sozo, S-O-Z-O, which means to deliver, save, or rescue, have life, sozo, okay? And phroneo means to think, or the thoughts, if you make it into a noun. It's the thoughts. So what you could put this together to mean is thoughts of deliverance, or the thinking of deliverance. That is what will counteract fear. Now, how do we get that? And when I looked at the Aramaic word for sound mind in this verse, it is also used in 2 Timothy 3:16, which of course is very familiar to all of us. It says, All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for instruction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that's the word, instruction. So the thoughts of deliverance are literally instruction from God. And they could be the written word, because all scripture is God-breathed, right? But every word, what the Aramaic says is, every word that was written by the Spirit. See, the Spirit, that's why I said at the beginning, that God, by way of His Spirit, has given us power, love, and a sound mind. He's given us, not our mind, He gives us answers. He gives us solutions. He gives us thoughts of deliverance. How am I going to get out of this situation? We don't know what the answer is. And because we don't know what the future is going to be, that causes fear. Like, you know, if somebody tells you, you have this disease, XYZ, whatever it is, what's going to counteract being afraid? Power to ask God for strengthening. Trust that He loves us. And then ask, seek, and knock for His thinking, His method of deliverance. Because He knows how to get out of it. It's just like the idea of wisdom that I've taught a lot of times before, too. It's God's view of the situation, and it's the very first thing that we need to ask for. We should not be asking, what do I do? What do I do about this? Because most of the time, it's not very clear what that answer is. But what God always answers is He always answers, what is your view of the situation? How should I be thinking about this? What is your solution and how do you see it? And when He starts talking to us about things like that, then it's like, oh, you can go to this doctor, you can have this, take this herb, you can whatever the solution is, He starts unfolding it. And when we hold those thoughts of deliverance, like, he's got this. He's got this. Then the fear goes away. There's also that really great verse in John 16, verse 13, about how the Spirit will guide you into all truth. The Spirit. Well, Jesus was going to leave, right? He said, I'm going to send the Spirit to you, and that Spirit will guide you into all truth. And I was reading a section by Rick Renner. He's a pastor who opened up amazing work in Russia right before the wall fell down, and has a TV station there. He's a very prolific writer. He's got a book, Yathik, called Sparkling Gems from the Greek, and it's like every day of the year, and he's got two volumes of it now, actually. And there's just some amazing things that he shares in some of those writings, because they're, you know, small enough to read. You can just read one once in a while. But on this part about John 16, this is what he said. The word guide is the Greek word Odegeo, Hodegeo, and is the word for, now get this, okay, a guide who shows a traveler the safest course through an unknown country. A guide. The Spirit knows God by way of Jesus, by way of the Spirit. He can communicate to us the safest course to go through an unknown country. This means that the Spirit is our guide. He knows the way we should go. He understands how to avoid every trap and obstacle along the way. When we are going into an area we've never been before, the Spirit wants to show us how to take the safest route. He knows exactly how to get us safely to our future point of destination. I told you, fear has to do with the what ifs. We don't know the future, right? So we have this destination that's out here. How do we get there? Sound the instruction, thinking of deliverance, thoughts that come straight from God, not from our own mind. It's not our own mind. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I don't know about you, but I always thought it was had to be my own mind. And I'll put words in my mind and try to, you know, get them to line up with God's word. And that's all great. That's how we get transformed. But when we know that fear can be stopped because God always has the solution. Always. He never, ever leaves us. So, like, here's another example that at times I've also had to deal with, and Rick Renner was telling about when they first started to want to start the TV station. They had an amazing thing happen that the door opened, but they didn't have the finances for it. And so he said that he was really tempted to be afraid and just say, oh, pull back and go, no, we can't do this because we don't have it. We don't have the money to do it. And God was just like, no, this is the time. You should do it now. Say yes. Sign the contract. And he was like, oh, okay, well, maybe I should. But what God showed him to do was, as the solution, was to sow a seed of financial gift into someone else's broadcasting ministry. And as soon as he did that, all the money started flowing in for his. And this is what he says about that. He said, when hard financial times come, this isn't the time for you to surrender to circumstances. It's the time for you to put up a fight. Instead of giving in and surrendering to the attacks that are assailing you, you have to put up your dukes, heave backward with all of your spiritual might, and throw a knockout punch in the face of the devil. Don't shrink back in fear or worry. Instead, make this a critical moment when you sow an extra financial seed. Do something bold that will break the stranglehold the devil has tried to put on you. And I've had this happen where where it just seems like one thing after another breaks in your house, for example. And go, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I know the principles of giving, and I know that God protects things we own. And when something like that happens, there have been many times where God has told me, go and give an anonymous gift to someone, where it's like your right hand doesn't know what your left hand does. Usually we write checks or we, you know, send through PayPal or whatever. But, you know, sticking some money in somebody's pocket that they don't even know where it came from, that kind of thing. Or sowing into the exact opposite of what you need, like what he was talking about. See, they needed money for their broadcasting ministry, and God told them, go sow seed in somebody else's broadcasting ministry. And it works. That's not the only thing that works, but it's just an example of a God solution. It's a God solution. And when we do it, not only does the fear just like go away, but we get the deliverance. It's thoughts of deliverance. God's solution is what casts out fear. Maybe, like another song says, maybe we haven't seen it yet. Maybe we haven't quite seen it yet. But even that is a testimony in the making. Because we have seen what God told us to do right now. We have seen what His wisdom is. We have seen that His promises are faithful and that we can rely upon them all the time. We have seen it over and over, right? Okay, so is he going to fail us now? No. All right. So I just read those words of the song by Danny Gokey about stand in faith. And I love the part where he gets to the end and he says, stir my faith. Because faith is what counteracts fear, too. You know, it's this well-worn path of doubt, worry, fear. So you make another well-worn path of confidence and faith. Stir my faith, because my eyes are on you. Stir my faith. I'm going to live in faith because my breakthrough is coming, is in essence what he was singing at the beginning. But this is towards the end of the song. It says, this, having faith in God's solutions that he will tell you exactly what to do and what's going on and his perspective every single step of the way, never ever letting go of our hands, right? Because he's our helper. This is how blind men get their sight. This is how dead men start to rise. This is how small things multiply. Nothing's impossible. This is where oceans have to part. This is where light cuts through the dark. Like the sword, right? The sword of the Spirit. All the different parts of the armor have to do with our victory. So we need to put all of them on. This is where I see who you are. I see the God who is love. I see him. And he is the one who says that he will absolutely never leave us or forsake us. So, God bless you.
Some awesome.